All say amen.
Amen.
Let's all say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We are truly once again being blessed by God. By the fact that we are in His body.
Amen.
That He gave us the opportunity to be a part of His body, to be a child of God.
Amen.
And that is such a wonderful blessing. All blessings that you can receive. Any other name or any other accolade that you may receive, there's nothing greater than to be able to be called a child of God.
Amen.
And to be a part of His body.
Amen.
And that is what we're going to talk about tonight.
Amen.
When we see, when the apostles are writing about the church, they use examples of the body. And they first, we see here in Colossians 1:18 that first he says that, and he is the head of the body,
right.
The church.
Right.
So church, we are the body. Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible tells us that Christ is the head of the church,
right.
Which means that all authority, all power, all everything. That's why here it says that he might have the preeminence. That means all power above all things, that he can be above everything, every name. The Bible says there's no other name under heaven and upon earth that can be named that we must, by which we must be saved. There's no other name but the name of Christ. And to be in Christ and to be in his body is a wonderful thing. And I'm going to use the board and just illustrate this. We have to look at the body as we look at our own bodies, right? And if we say body, then let's look at the body as a body. And hopefully we can. First, it says that Christ is the head, right?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then, so we know that if a body didn't have a head, the body would be dead, right?
Amen.
And we also notice that when you look at a human body, that there is only one body connected to that head, right?
Right.
You have never seen one head and two bodies walking around, or one head and three bodies walking around. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
It's always one head on one body.
Right.
And again, if you cut the head or take the head away from that body, then that body is dead. And we see that a lot of people have religious organizations claiming to be the body, but their head is not Christ. And if their head is not Christ, then what they are is just a bunch of body parts. Am I right about it? And without a head, they are dead. Am I right? But we have a head, which is Christ. And the Bible says that he is a high priest, and he is above all. He is a preeminent. So we know that our head is, we know where our head is, right? Well, we have to ask those people, where is your head at, when they say, I'm a member of this church? And we know that our head is where? In heaven, right? He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And then some people, you can ask them, where is their head? Well, he died back in so-and-so years ago, and he's buried in so-and-so place here on earth, right? But we know that our head was died, and he was buried, but he rose again on the third day. And he rose up to heaven. He was taken up to heaven in the cloud. And the Bible says the same way that you see him go is the same way you go see him come back. So we know that our head is still alive and living, right? So we know that our body, if the head is still attached and we are under a living head, that means the body is alive, right? And we have to understand that the body is a living organism, that the church is a living organism. And if you look at the body, first of all, you see that there are members of the body, right? And you have like your arms, right? You have arms, just bear with me. Then you have some legs, right? And then that's a basic description of a body, some body parts, right? Your arms, your legs, your feet, and things of that nature. But again, we have to understand that the head. Then the Bible tells us in, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 20. 1 Corinthians, so we can understand the part of us being members of the body. And we're going to read, if anybody wants to read that, we're going to stick here for a second. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 20. It says, anybody have that want to read?
But now are there many members?
But now there are many members.
Yet but one body.
So that is important for us to understand that we are all many members, but we are still attached to one body. Your arm is still attached to your body, right? And your foot is attached to your body. It's not attached to somebody else's body. That's what makes it yours, right? And that's what lets us understand that we are Christ's. We are a part of Christ, and we are heirs to him just like he is. We are heirs to him through him. And that we have a promise of eternal life through Christ Jesus by being a part of that body. Amen. And then it says that, but there is one body. Then verse 21.
The eyes cannot say unto the hand.
I have no need of thee.
Nor again the head to the feet.
Nor again the head to the feet.
I have no need of thee.
I have no need of you. And verse 22. Those members of the body, which seems to be smaller or unnecessary, but they are necessary. Yeah. If you think about your pinky toe, it's the smallest, one of the smallest pieces. But if you get your pinky toe shot off or you break your pinky toe, it's going to change the whole way that your body moves, right? You're not going to have that same stroll anymore if your pinky, little small pinky toe. We might think that it's a small little part of the body, but it plays a very important part. And if you didn't have that part of the body, that's why it's important for us to encourage one another to be members and to work in the body, because each part is necessary to be used. Because if that one part is not there, or if one part is not doing its job, we know that we have those aches and pains, right? And sometimes your knee don't work that morning when you wake up, so you have to limp a little bit. So it causes more stress on the other leg. Then your other leg starts hurting because you're trying to support the hurting leg. So then both of your legs are hurt, right? So then the body suffers completely if everybody is not playing their part. So it is important that we as members of the body must play our part. And there is no smaller part than mine. My part is not smaller, and your part is not greater. Some people are feet, some people are hands, some people are elbows, some people, you know, are mouths, or some people are different parts, but you can't say, well, he's doing this part. Well, maybe because he's a foot, and you're a hand, so you need to take care of the hand part and let the foot do his part, and it'll all come together as one. So we have to understand the unity of the body working together. We look at people who are athletes, their whole body has to work together, and like we have people, Antonio Gates, he suffered from turf toe. His toe was hurt, and he couldn't play football because his little toe was hurting. And because that one little member of his body was not working, it caused him not to even be able to perform at his regular abilities, right? So like I said, we have to look out for those smaller members that we may consider as small and feeble, but they are just as necessary. And then if we go down to verse 27, it says, now ye are the body of Christ and many members in particular. Yeah. And then he goes to name that different levels, the different members that he put into the church. He talks about the apostles, and then he says secondary prophets, then thirdly teachers, and after that miracles and gifts and healings and helps, governments and diversities of tongues. And all these things, he said, are all apostles? No, we can't all be the foot. No, we can't all be the hand, right? And that's why he said, are we all these parts? No, but we have to understand that we each have our own part, and we have to play our part. And that's the members, right? And we talked about the members. And then, now if you look inside the body, there is a skeleton and muscles, right? And I'm going to try to... And the bones and the skeletons, and I mean, the bone and the muscles hold the structure together, right? If you didn't have no bone in your body, you wouldn't be able to stand, right? And there you wouldn't have no structure. You'd be linked over, or if you was missing something, if some bones were missing, you would be missing something. You wouldn't be able to function right without your bones. And the bones is the structure and the foundation. And then you got little muscles that hold these bones together, right? And I believe that we can use that and understand it as the faith, that our faith is like the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And our ultimate hope of being part of the body is to make it to heaven. So if faith is the foundation, is what is the structure of what the body is standing on. The church stands on our faith. The Amen. Bible says that we are saved by faith. First, you must have faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. And then if you didn't have faith, then you wouldn't even be part of the body, right? So I believe that faith is the structures, what the body is stands upon, and what the body is able to be able to have its foundation and structure on because of faith. And we believe that Jesus Christ is the head, so that is a part of our faith. And we believe that through baptism we are added to the body. That is also a part of our faith. So without that faith that we have, there would be no structure in the body. The body would just playing and flabble around, you know what I'm saying? And then it would change shapes, right? It wouldn't be the same all the time. And that's why the Bible says that there is one faith. So there is one bone structure, one inter area that's holding the church together, and that is faith. Because some people, they have different faith, and then they churches change shapes every once in a while, right? They have to change their doctrine. They have to change their religion because they don't have the one faith keeping their body structured. We understand that? Is that all right? All right. And then we have the part that we really can't deal with, which is like your innards, right? You have like your intestines and your heart and your brain and all these parts that we really can't move. They function on their own accord, right? And when they stop functioning, then we know it, right? And we can't really do nothing about it. We have to go find somebody to help us get it going, right? And they function, they go and stop on their own accord. We might can help it keep going by, you know, diet and things like that of that nature, but they function without us having to move them. We don't have to move our heart. We don't have to pump our heart all day, right? And we don't have to make our food go down. You don't have to move each intestine to move it down. They're working on their own, and it's working within to keep the body able to move. And I believe we can see that as the Holy Spirit working within the church, because the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is a comforter. Right? And then Jesus said that he was going to send his Holy Spirit, and he was going to send the Comforter. And then he said that he was going to, let's go to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 26. Matthew chapter 14, verse 26. Yeah, I got, but I don't know if that's the right one. Let's go to, and 26, sorry. 15, scribble. I should have typed it out. Anyway, Matthew's 15 and 26. Let me see. Right. All right, well, we can go to John chapter 14. Sorry about that. I should have typed it out. Sorry about that. John chapter 14, verses 15.
John 14, 26.
Yes.
Uh-huh. For the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name.
Right. And he shall teach you all, and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Now we see that the Holy Spirit is working. He said that he's going to send the Comforter, and he's going to work in you, right? And he's going to teach you and show you. Then back up to verse 17, it says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth within you, and shall be in you. And see, that's what I'm talking about, that the Holy Spirit is working inside of you, and that we don't, the Holy Spirit keeps the body functioning by reminding us, bringing us to remembrance, and teaching us and showing us what thus saith the Lord. Sometimes we don't even know the book, chapter, and verse, right? But we know what it says, but we don't know the book, chapter, and verse. Amen. But sometimes the Holy Spirit can work with you still by just quoting the scripture. You don't have to always worry about, sometimes you be teaching somebody, well, I don't know the book, chapter, and verse. But if you know what the Bible says, you can quote the scripture, because the Bible was set up book, chapter, verse, by. But that's not how it was originally written. But it's the word of God that is important for them to understand. So if you can give them the word of God and they can hear what it says, then that is the most important part. And then, again, the Holy Spirit is working with thee. Now, once we see all that and we see that Christ is the head, and we have the bones and the innards. I didn't draw that. But and then on the outside, we see that everybody has what?
Skin,
right? Some are different colors and things of that nature, but it is skin. And what does the skin do? Huh? Insulate the body. It protects us. It holds the body together, right? If you didn't have no skin, your insides will fall out, right? You'll be walking around holding your innards in your hand, or you have to have a bag or something to hold it in if you didn't have no skin, right? And it keeps all that in. And we have to understand that the skin holds the body together. And then, so as we come to a conclusion, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. And it talks about the skin of the body. Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. With all willingness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now we can find out what the bond of peace is, right? It says already in verse 2, it says, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the bond of peace. So we endeavor to keep the bond of peace by endeavoring each other in love. Right. We understand that? We see how that? And then we go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14.
And above all these things,
put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. See, it holds, it is the bond, it what bonds the body together. It's what keeps the body together. The Bible says if you show love, then people will know that you are the body, right? People will know that you are the church by the love that you show one for another. If we have fights and we always separating all the time, then people will say, well, they can't be, because they ain't got no love and they ain't got no peace. Right? So we have to try to love each other. And sometimes the Bible says live as peaceably as much as possible. Now, sometimes things just ain't able. Some folks ain't able. Some things are not able. Some situations. We see with Paul, he had to go a different way because they didn't get along. He didn't get along with Mark. So they went separate ways. But they didn't hate each other because of that. They just, sometimes things don't go right. But we have to have love to keep all those things together, right? Because the hand, like I said, the hand can't do the job of the foot. But the bond that we have, the skin, when the legs and the feet move, the hand and the arms go with it, right? It don't stay back there because the love is holding it all together. The skin keeps it all together, right? If there was no skin, then you might have some parts back there, or you might have some things left over on the other side and people, things like of that nature. But the bond of love, the peace, the skin, is what holds the body together. So we have to always, the Bible says that the greatest of these is love. And it's all about love. And if we learn to love, then you have completed. You are perfect, right? The Bible says that if it's the bond of perfection, and then that is love that we have to do if we want to reach that perfect goal of being perfect, we have to learn how to love God first, then man, and the Bible tells us wife, then we have to even learn how to forgive by loving our enemies.
Amen.
And that's not revenging ourselves, right? So as we see that, there are some people who might not be members of this body that we have talked about. Mm-hmm. And the Bible clearly explains on how one becomes a member of the body. The Bible talks about in Acts chapter 2, 38, and Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, right? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then we see that the Bible says that, and the Lord added to the what? to the church daily, such as should be saved. Right. So that lets us know that the saved are in the body also. Because if he was adding them to anything else, they wouldn't be saved, right? Because he said he was adding to the church. So we as members of the church, we are in a safe position. We have a head that is there and keeping the body alive, and we have the love that is holding us together, and we have faith, which is our structure and foundation, which we always fall back on, is our faith. Amen. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. And once you learn how to please him, because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, then you will learn to love him, and then you will learn to love others, which will keep the church growing also, right? Amen. And keep the church growing, and it would keep us together as one. So if there's any who are not members of the body and who have not heard the word and who have not believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who have not repented of your sins and confessed him to be both Lord and Christ, and have not been baptized, this is the opportunity for you as we stand and sing the song of invitation.